Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Justin, Pete, and Alexander Zalman! Give me a second, guys. I gotta walk up.
Okay, wow. Sure.
Yeah.
Great.
Hold on one second. I gotta walk.
Thank you, everybody. Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And, of course, Alex is feeling a little deprived of attention at home.
I'm Alex. We got to figure out this booth map.
I know. It's a nightmare.
Situation. It's a living nightmare.
I will say you could probably say my name a little bit more quickly.
Could I?
I wanted like a lowercase J and just as fast as possible.
So I should be like, with your host, Pete, Justin, and Alex.
Exactly. I want to be an underbreath. Almost an assumed figure.
Is that an acting term?
No, I think I just made that up. But I am a classically trained actor.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it.
Well, guys.
Thanks, actors.
I don't want to waste too much time on our very lengthy intros. Usually we do, what would you say, 5 to 10 minutes of bios for each of us.
Tightly written
at the top of the
show.
Yeah. But we're going to get right into it because we're very excited about the guest. We're always excited to have him here. He is now currently a writer for College Humor. Ladies and gentlemen, Nat Thompson!
Yeah, welcome to the show, sir. Take your time coming over.
Take your seat.
Yeah,
take
just
my
milk
wife,
it.
Please.
Whenever you're ready, bring your purse. Come on over.
Oh, good.
They can't hear you.
It's a bag full of comics.
Oh, great. Okay. Is it acceptable to carry a purse if it's a bag full of comics?
Yep.
That's a great crossover question. Yeah, let's go to our fashion expert, Mr. Pete LePage. Fashion plate.
Well, if it doesn't have Punisher on it, then no. But if it does, yes.
It says The Strand. Do you think the Punisher would go to The Strand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
If he'd been published a long time ago and was now remaindered and being sold for less money.
He did write a novel for girls, I believe, when he's taking a break from his war journal.
Right.
Sort of
this
a Nancy
war,
Drew.
War diary.
Yeah, exactly.
Punisher's crush journal.
Yeah.
It was interesting to me that we said he went to The Strand and you immediately jumped, not he's a customer at The Strand, but he's a book being returned to The Strand.
Well, what I meant to imply was you could get a lot of Punisher books for less than
$10. Oh, okay. Because I was thinking literally the physical, like Frank Castle, the Punisher, goes into The Strand and is like, I do.
Oh, I know. I was just opening up the premise to something a little bit more absurd.
Let's keep it on bookstores. fresh business idea.
Speaking of fresh business ideas, you have a fresh business idea that you started recently. Nat Towson's Variety Hour?
Nat Towson's Downtown Variety
Hour. Did you hear this
hour?
Rip-off bullshit it's that he's doing?
Why? It's not a rip-off of us?
He gives out free comics.
Well, since I got to introduce it and explain what it was so well, I think it's time to start the criticism portion of my plug here.
The criticism portion starts early.
Before everything else, I noticed.
We criticized you for an hour before you got here.
Well, thanks. I know you did not get here an hour ago. So,
slam.
Yeah, I was also late. I got nothing. I have a show at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater East in Manhattan.
Oh, well, la-dee-da.
Yeah, Mr. Big Man with his show.
Yeah, I can tell this sentence
me.
Is going to go far. And it's like a downtown Manhattan culture show. I do a history segment on every show. I have a local business sponsor it, and one of our long-running sponsors has been Forbidden Planet, which is why they think that.
Oh, I don't know if you can say
idea.
That name on our.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say, it's been Midtown Comics.
Thank you.
I think that's actually worse because they don't sponsor me. I love Midtown Comics. I went there all through high school, but it's too far away from me now. And
but then you grew up.
Yeah, then I grew up and I started buying my comics downtown, guys.
Like at a real adult store.
Yeah, like a real
adult store. Is that like a Strand bag?
You're
at the Strand and you're like, I'll go across the street.
Well, what I do is on my way to Forbidden Planet, I go to the Strand and I pee at their second floor bathroom.
Man, what a life you have.
No one watches that bathroom. I know, I'm pretty much like the king of New York.
I'm sorry.
Meaning a homeless.
This
just
is
peeing
really,
wherever
yeah,
I want.
Are you homeless?
Yeah, you're a homeless man.
Oh, yeah. Did I say pee? I meant shower.
So you were talking about the show.
I mean, I was trying, but...
Okay, you know what? Let's give you some time to really share your business.
Go ahead.
No more...
This looks like it's just the
homeless of the city really don't have a platform in which to speak most
exactly.
of the time, so go ahead.
Thanks.
Just say the rent is too damn high.
good ref, dude.
New York, inside New York.
Speaking of the fact that the rent is too damn high, I'm from the East Village, where a lot of the culture got forced out by increases in rent. So I do a show that it's dedicated to the disappearing East Village and Lower Manhattan culture, and... Part of that is live poetry and comics readings and comedians and musicians, and I have people who are from that scene or people who grew up in New York, and I have historians come on and do a history segment with me, and I also just have comedians and people who I think are funny and talented and really fit into that tradition of performance.
It's a very cool show. I've done a small bit on your show once before.
I believe you were a heckler who was heckling another heckler.
Correct. I practice that every week here at Comic Book.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But I find
it stretch for you.
You were great.
I find it nice that you're doing a show that's really supporting, or I guess anti-gentrification, in a theater that was opened in the East Village and is sort of gentrifying the East Village.
Two hours before a show called Gentrify, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, oh, interesting. Show, yeah, right? I have a show at East Beast.
Do you guys fight for the hour in between?
Yeah, it's just us on stage just being like, I want the chair here, but I put it there. Yeah.
Again, it's kind of funny. I was applying fighting like bare-knuckle boxing, and you were like,
We've never done that.
I'm a little girl.
All right.
I'm a pretty little girl.
No, I'm a prettier little girl. Yeah. I'm fancier than Justin is.
Do you ever figure it out? Which one of you is fancier? Can we go to our style expert?
Let's go to the style. Fashion played fashion, Mr. Pila.
As much as I had to say this, I'm going to have to go with J.T. Sisson.
That's unbelievable. That's the biggest compliment
the crowd,
I've ever given
for me. For the podcast audience, the crowd just left.
Yeah, I know. They're like...
They're revolting.
Yeah, you gotta pick better.
Well, no, they're very attractive.
Yeah.
What was that?
Oh, no.
No, I missed it.
I said something under my breath. Now, moving on to comics that you've been reading. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. You've been reading the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles X-Files crossover?
Yeah, I bought this at a comic shop I got yelled at for mentioning. It is X-Files Conspiracy Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't normally go for licensed comics because they suck, but usually.
Wow.
But come on, prove me wrong. But this one is kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's a lot of fun. It's Mulder and Scully go and investigate the existence of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So,
what do they find out?
Turns out they, spoiler alert, they're real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, what does Scully think? Is she like, this is the only time I've ever believed you?
Well, the whole radioactive ooze thing. Yeah.
Scully's like, there's turtles and they eat pizza. And they say cowabunga a lot. Is that what they say?
I mean, Bart Simpson says that too.
Right. That's what I was actually thinking.
They say, I'm Bart Simpson, who the hell are you?
Yeah. They say, Michael eat my shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
They say, don't, why you little?
Great. Wow. Great voice work again.
Yeah. Anyway, IDW is doing this crossover now with all their licensed properties where the X-Files investigates them, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Transformers, I'm forgetting what else, Mars Attacks, I think.
Popeye?
They investigated Popeye.
Well, I just know that they had Popeye fight everyone, so I'm just guessing.
Man, have they gone crazy over at that?
Comic book company? Yeah, well, no, like 2 months ago they had a whole crossover month where it was like Popeye versus Mars Attacks. Am I crazy?
No, that's true.
It sounds crazy coming out of my mouth, but I started to doubt myself.
I guess I don't... Well, I was going to say I don't know how you would cross over X-Files and Popeye, but I guess they could investigate a guy who's using spinach to increase his strength.
Yeah, that's like a season one X-Files plot. Well, they'd be like, there's no way a man could stretch his arms that far. It's like, well, wait, certain, anomalies in your diet could combine with
a
strange...
I believe his steamboat tattoo runs right down his arm after he eats the spinach. It's very curious, Scully.
There is literally an X-Files episode where someone has a talking Betty Page tattoo that controls his mind. So
they did some real shitty episodes.
Yeah, there's some really bad ones.
So, and I love that show, but they did some episodes where it's like, who wrote this?
Vince Gilligan, creator of Breaking Bad.
If you see an X-Files episode and it's written by Vince Gilligan or Chris Carter, it's usually like at least passable today. Yeah. And then if they didn't write it, they're the ones where they're like, what do you mean there's another episode next week?
It seems to be an
monster or something, I think.
It's an uncatchable frisbee. What's going to happen?
I'm actually writing an article for College Humor right now, another spoiler, that is about X-Files episodes that are actually, in retrospect, very racist. Of which there are quite a few. So
Racist towards bees and things or what?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like early on, they did a lot of episodes that were just like, Chinese people believe in these kind of demons, and they're real, and all Chinese people are magic.
Yeah, that was what season two was subtitled.
That's pretty much, Magic Chinese People is X-Files season two.
Yeah, I should mention we broadcast the show from Chinatown, so...
Sorry.
So play cool, hotshot.
You're welcome, everyone.
Be chill. When can people check out this show that you do?
The next one is on March 7th at 7:30. It's the first Friday in March at UCB East, and the guests will be from the goddamn Dave Hill Show on WFMU, Dave Hill, and the Daily Show's Wyatt Cenac.
Great guests.
And
That's
other
awesome.
People I haven't booked yet. So look forward to this.
Cool. Could I'm looking forward to those. The last ones.
Yeah, the unknown ones.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, you can do the show.
Yeah.
I'll be looking forward to those guests. Because I'm a pretty girl.
I don't know what's going on anymore. Guys, I actually do know what's going on. We're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stand.
Yeah.
And... thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Go off mic for a second.
Yeah, go off mic for a second. Thank you so much.
Great transition, Alex.
Thank you, Justin. In the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books we particularly like, go to bat for them. First one, this is a huge shocker. I'm pretty surprised that you like this, Pete.
Yeah.
This is not in character for you at all. I was shocked that you picked this. Punisher number 2 from Marvel Comics.
Woo!
That's crazy. Now, you traditionally have never liked The Punisher or been into violent comics at all.
Nope.
So why did you like this book?
Well, this is a nice kind of refresh for The Punisher here, issue number 2.
It's a fresh new look, would you say?
fresh new take on the guy. What I like about it is he's just a normal dude who has a mission. You know what I mean? It's not really focusing on, like, how crazy he is or, like, you know, it's just he goes to coffee shops, he hangs out with the target on his shirt, and hey, guess what? He saved a coyote. He's actually a really nice guy.
What you just said was crazy. It was the ramblings of a crazy person. You're like, I have to focus on how he's crazy. He just hangs out in the coffee shop with a weird shirt on and rescued a coyote.
Yeah.
I had a dream like that once.
Normal stuff.
I mean, Pete's explanation and love of this comic aside, this is a great comic. No, I just shit on your opinion. it's just really the art's great. Nathan Edmondson is really interesting. I feel like across the Marvel line, they're trying so hard to emulate the Hawkeye book.
Yeah,
and this is another version of that. I feel like Black Widow's like that. Another comic from this week that I forget right now
Daredevil.
Is also Daredevil seems to be going that way, but something else. It's like very much the thing at Marvel now for all the new books, and this is just another, but it's great. It is really good.
I have a kind of a weird question for you, but with so many books that are trying to buck the norm and follow what Hawkeye is doing, is that becoming the norm?
You know what, Alex? You may be right.
Whoa.
No. Not yet. No, because most books are still every color is on every page. Like, I mean, I think it's great that, I mean, Hawkeye, part of why it's so popular is a lot of the people who like it have been reading comics since before digital coloring took over everything or since before the color palette got opened up. And, like, I think it's great that we can do things with comics that look more detailed or photographic and, like, you know, sometimes you go back and look at comics we thought were masterpieces in the 80s and 90s, and you're like, this is hard to see. But other times, like, no, because, like, the printing quality was so low.
True.
And, like, it's nice that we have nice paper and things can be crisp or really detailed color. But the thing is, some people do that right, and some people do it really lazily, and they just throw in gradient fills, and every, small part of a person's face is a gradient. And, like, I think what people are realizing at Marvel, I hope, in case their editors listen to this podcast, is that limited
palette.
At least
one of them does.
I mean, I wouldn't know, but, like, in case any of them are listening right now, the limited palette is, like, in a lot of ways, leaves more room for artistic expression, and it forces you to make choices. And I think it's not the norm, because most comics coming out still don't look like that. But, like, you can style something. You can make a comic look nice without just having to put a rainbow on every page.
I'd like to mention you have said more on the show so far about color and art than most artists we have on
by
the show.
By far.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy.
And even beyond that, I feel like these stories go the Hawkeye-ification of the Marvel Universe. Like, it's more character stuff, and it's a little more interesting storytelling. Like, the Punisher, rather than just killing people is in a diner, like we just said. And that's
Who would have thought that art and characters were important to comics? You
well,
know?
DC comics.
Often.
Sorry, guys.
That's well, but you're I think right, though. DC,
but
every
I think
book has
DC
every color
DC could
on
do
page.
With a lot of Hawkeye-style, one or two Hawkeye-style comics.
They would be great. I mean, the only book they have, I mean, visually, I think that the current Batman series does a good job of, like, they play with a lot of browns and grays, and they keep it in a certain, like, even when things get bright.
Also,
colorful.
Wonder Woman does a good
Wonder
job.
Wonder Woman does a really good job. But those are so few and far between. Every other book, they're just like, You just see a guy being like, all right, bucket tool, fill, gradient tool, fill.
Yeah, I love you. Like, you really get into the, them at their computer.
Well, you know, it's annoying to read a comic book and be like, I could do that. Because most of the time, I want to read something that I couldn't do myself. And when you watch the, when you look at how DC books are colored, like, I had Kid Picks when I was a kid. I could have made a DC comic in Kid Picks.
They actually print their comics on Print Shop. Did you know that?
Banner Mania.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. This book, I agree, is great. I know I gave you a lot of crap about the first issue.
You did.
Yes. I still feel like it's a pretty straightforward Punisher story, but the art is awesome. Good. The writing is solid. I'm not as into it as I was Greg Rucka's run, which I think brought some flavor and character to Punisher that I hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
But if you like a back-to-basics Punisher story, which is him killing people and hanging out with a coyote, check this out.
Yeah. did you like his new kind of like face mask thing?
Oh, yeah. Punisher has a secret identity now.
Yeah.
Well, so he wears a skull face mask.
I found that to be a little convenient. The Punisher sort of has this girlfriend who's a cop, and he shows up at where she is.
Yeah,
and he's wearing a mask.
Yeah, he doesn't want to ruin it.
Yeah, but it's a little convenient that he's just like, let me put on my mask because I might have a girlfriend.
Do you think it was a
what,
mask?
Punisher can't have a girlfriend?
Maybe he shrunk one of his shirts and put it out over his head.
Yeah, he's always like,
yeah, maybe he's having laundry issues. You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah.
Damn, did I use hot?
Dirty laundry plug.
That would be a great Infinite comic, is like six issues about him doing his laundry, what happens. Yeah. Spider-Man's doing his laundry next to him. They're like,
He goes next door and gets a bottle of Jack Daniels from Hellboy.
Oh, not every. That's just how you do laundry.
Oh,
not everyone drinks as much as you do laundry.
Not everybody drinks when they do laundry?
Not a bottle of Jack Daniels.
They make small.
I mean, you do it how you want to do it. But
you can see Pete clean his apartment. He has to sleep it off for 3 days.
Do you know how he does it? I did laundry with him one time. He does a sip for me, a sip for you.
Yeah, for the old laundry.
Pours it right in the laundry.
Yeah, that's how you get it clean. Alcohol, guys.
Yeah.
You're gonna get Pete. Set on fire.
Guys,
all right,
can I just point out here that speaking of the Hawkeye-ification of this book, he's wearing a Hawkeye t-shirt.
Yes, right?
But that is
cool. Like, get it? We also read Hawkeye.
I would say that comes a lot more, I think, from the writers even more than anything else, because everybody wants to do the Hawkeye book, so they keep putting shout-outs and things that connect it.
I'm not arguing.
They should want to do Hawkeye. It's probably their best book right now.
But I will say that if you're doing a book that is sort of stylistically like another book, to put a reference to it in there is
a little heavy-handed.
Yeah.
It's very
enjoyable. Like if I were covering a Christina Aguilera song, I don't know what I'm talking about right now.
I'm glad you stopped.
Let's move on with your pick. Batman and Two-Face, number 28 from DC Comics. Now, we were just slamming the crap out of DC Comics here, hardcore to the max.
Yeah,
Justin. To the max.
So
no, we took it to the
defend
max.
Defend yourself.
Well, I don't mean to say that line-wide DC is putting on only bad comics, because that would be insane. There are a bunch of comics I like. Swamp Thing, I think, is really good.
You heard it here
first,
line-wide, only bad comics. You said it.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Well, yeah, this is going to be heavily edited. But this Batman and the former Batman and Robin book, Batman and Two-Face, is amazing. It's just... Everyone loves Scott Snyder's Batman, and it is very good. But this is like just so gritty, great Batman stories that aren't trying to be like the mythological. I feel like Scott Snyder's writing these mythological stories that are like redefining Batman for going forward. These are just great stories where the characters are so well done. The moments are great. The action's awesome. It's just a great comic.
The ending's a little depressing, bro.
Hey, life's depressing. What, when he brings a new bat signal in?
No.
That was cool. That's like a good friend.
That's not the depressing part.
What is?
Do you really want me to spoil it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Yep. Two-Face shoots himself in the head.
Well, I doubt Two-Face killed himself.
Bam, and then there was blood on his lady's picture.
He puts a gun up to his head.
Yeah. Right.
Then there's blab. Then there's blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did the blood come from if he didn't shoot himself in the head?
Thank you.
Literally no other place that has blood in the human body.
That's correct.
Exactly. Maybe he shot a tiny bird that was flying over his head.
Well, that's convenient.
Yeah. Good. Well, no, I think it's actually interesting because I read it as he was ready to shoot himself in the head, and then he, at the last minute, pulled it away, like a cowardly move in his mind, I think, and I think that's going to be a character-defining thing going forward.
Except he's not in this book anymore.
Yeah, he's dead.
No, I don't think he's dead, and you're right,
he's totally
not in this
dead.
Book anymore.
Huh? Well, there's a black panel at the end, which often means, if this is from his perspective...
That means sleep.
That means he's either asleep or dead.
Yeah, or so he did that thing where he... Turned the lights out on the way out, and it was the last episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And he, like, looked back.
Or he closed his eyes.
Classic Cheers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have a question about this book.
Please.
Is the Long Halloween still in continuity in DC Comics?
I don't believe so.
All right, thanks.
Okay, great.
Does this remind you of the Long Halloween?
Was there a point you're leading
up to?
Well,
I mean, because it's about him and his wife, Gilda, and he's looking at her portrait when he shoots himself in the head, and that whole
book
is about...
Oh, this is totally new.
All new, and it's actually a great new Two-Face origin, I thought. I really like it.
Yeah, and death.
I mean, we'll see, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the issue was the teaser for next issue. It's called The Search for Robin.
Yeah.
Which, awesome, great. Yeah. I hope we get Damian Wayne Robin back. Reminds me of my favorite Star Trek movie, Star Trek 3, Search for Spock. And I like words at the end of pages.
Someone in the audience just said, oh, Jesus.
That is awesome.
Cool. Let's move on with my pick now that I've really shored up my critical faculties.
Definitely. Yep.
Alex and Ada, number 4. Now, I talked about this book a little bit last week,
yes.
And our guest Charles Soule ripped me a new one because I described it poorly. But
also, you just like it because your name's in the title.
Yeah, Ada.
Yep. Whoops.
Yep.
Alex and Ada, number 4, the idea of the book, there's a guy kind of lonely. He ends up getting this android named Ada who's supposed to be a sex bot. He doesn't feel comfortable with that and, if anything, wants her to be her own person. So he's got in search of giving her a personality. And what's so cool about this issue is shut up, Pete.
You really nailed the description this time.
Yeah, you're really killing it.
I think you said the same thing word for word.
I did. I got trapped. In a loop. There's some banging babes, hot future stuff, and a hardcore violence.
Oh, my God.
One hardcore
that
violence.
That did not happen.
Well, no, finish. Keep explaining.
Yeah, I don't
finish your
to.
Loop.
I give up. It's the art. It's written by Jonathan Luda, who I haven't been a huge fan of in the past. Like the stuff that he's done, but I haven't been in love with this. This I do love. I think it's very well written, very philosophical, but humorous at the same time. There are good plot twists, great characters, has a great cliffhanger at the end of every issue. Shut up, Pete. Go ahead.
Pete, what did you think of this?
This book is creepy and just not interesting.
That's how you describe Alex as well.
Right, yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. It could be interesting to people who are creepy and uninteresting, but... I think that it's a story of, it's just very confusing. He's sitting at a bar and he's like, realizes he's talking to robots. And then they're like, we're going to go and you are asking a lot of weird questions. We're going to take you to this secret room. Never go to a secret room with weird robots. Don't do that. Especially one of them who's like fucked up and keeps saying like dark things for no particular reason. There wasn't a thing where I could relate or get on board. It was, like, ridiculous. He was like, it's just kind of like an iPhone. If we unlock her, you could do anything you want with this sex bot. It can be whatever you want it to be. We'll just unlock it. It's illegal. It's hush-hush.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you like pervy stuff.
It was
and
just...
you like pervy comics.
Hold on.
As we all know.
And it's so creepy.
Pete, fashion expert over there, is describing it poorly because he doesn't want to unlock her to have sex with her. He wants to unlock her to hang out with her. Yeah. It's all about having a
flash. Yeah.
She's
yeah.
only I mean, programmed for sex? Is
he
that what's
went
going
to
on?
Buy a sex bot so he could
hang
out with somebody.
He has a sex bot, but he doesn't want to have sex with her, but she's only programmed for sex, so he wants to unlock her so that he can unlock the, like... other emotional track?
Yeah, exactly.
Mom, I have those porno magazines under my bed, but I'm just holding them, and the articles and the staples are cool, and I don't know. Can I go hide in my room now?
Here's the thing. You read this book, and there's the promise that this could happen to you someday, and that's why we keep reading it.
How many robots you got in your house right now?
A bunch.
Oh, my God.
Shit.
Built about as some tin cans.
I'm glad
and stuff.
Your wife's not at this show.
They are not good
Alex
for sex.
Alex isn't home like, no Rock'em Sock'em robots. I won't have sex with you. No matter how much you insist.
I unlock them. They do
yes.
that.
Yeah, he is Rock'em Sex'em robots.
This is a creepy book, man.
way to button that segment up, Pete.
Oh, boy. If you're looking for some speculative sci-fi that... is very good at shut up.
Your description. I'll tell you what, you're normally very good at describing books. There's something about this has failed you.
You think
it
he's
only
flustered?
Makes you. I think
what?
So.
I'm asking if you're flustered by this book, which is why you're nervous in front of it. You don't want to describe it.
Exactly.
I just want it to like me.
No, it's totally not a sex thing. It's just really cool. It's cool. It sounds like a really interesting book. I haven't
read
it.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really super cool.
Shut up, all of you.
I meant it that last time.
Don't you yell at our audience for laughing.
Yeah. No, I'm yelling
at us. He was yelling at us.
He's yelling at you, especially you, Pete.
That's it for the staff. All right, guys. It's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
We're going to have to figure out something else to say.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'll do it.
Okay.
I'm already standing up.
Yeah, you're already standing up.
If you are interested in being a booth man, please write us at comicbooklive@gmail.com because this show is very awkward now.
Yeah, exactly. You're doing so much, Alex.
Thank you very much.
I'll have another
So if you have any questions about geeky stuff, comic book stuff, anything like that, raise your hand. You're going to get some free comics, and I will come around to you. Oh, guy in the back over there. Yes, you, sir. Come on up over here, please, and ask your question into the microphone.
I just use that one.
Yeah. Hello.
Right there.
Hello.
Hey.
With all the talk of the first openly gay athlete in the NFL, who is your favorite openly gay superhero?
Midnighter.
Well, wait a second, Pete.
Hold up. That was a great question.
Great question.
Yeah, It was a great question.
So, Pete, you were saying?
Midnighter.
Why do you like Midnighter?
I think they do a great job of with Midnighter, or the focus really isn't on the fact that he's gay. It's just who he is, and he's a great character, and he also has Apollo, and I think it just... I think it's a great character. It's a great character. And he just happens to be gay. I mean, it's not like they don't, because I feel like sometimes people talk about it like too much. Like it's, you know.
Yeah.
It's, hey, that's who he is.
No, I agree with that. I mean, one of the problems, particularly in comics, and I feel like this is in society as well, but in comics, if you have a gay character, every single issue they're in, they have to be like, well, because, you know, I'm gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like a character like Northstar has sort of somehow moved through that.
Yes.
Like now it was such a thing for so long. Like, because what year was he? Did he come out? Did the character?
It was late
'90s.
Like, it was Alpha Flight 107, I think.
It was
or something.
Wow.
Like that.
Yeah.
Look at the recall on
that,
that
issue
guy.
Yeah. Very clearly. Because if you go back and read it, I'll mention it is a terrible issue.
Right.
It's awful.
Is it awful because it's clunky when it comes out, or it's just
he
in
ends up
bad.
Fighting a guy whose son has AIDS, and that's how it comes out that he's gay.
Oh, Jesus!
Yeah.
But so from those terrible origins, I feel like the character has he is now just a guy. He's just a character, as opposed to being like, hey, it's that gay character.
Yeah.
But did you guys read the issue of James Robinson's Earth 2 in the New 52 run where, not Jay Garrick, Alan Scott comes out, and then he proposes to a man and explodes immediately.
That
he's
was
so gay, the entire train he's on explodes.
Well, it was especially like that issue got a lot of press for being like, oh, can you believe it? They're making Green Lantern gay. And literally he's in the train and he's like, will you marry me? And then everyone dies. And it was
he pulls out the ring.
A terrible
he proposes
analogy.
To a man, and then you turn the page and it's a full page splash of just a train exploding.
Yeah.
And like, on Earth 2, that's what God thinks of gay people.
Yeah, exactly. That's the big difference between...
I actually read it as, like, the moment was so gay that the train exploded. Yeah. Like,
well,
there's too
Dan DiDio's head exploded, I think.
Yeah.
And if you read the issue, actually, if you go back and take a look, they have a sound effect for the explosion, and it's just gay.
Yeah. I can't believe no one noticed that. I feel like the Hulkling, the Young Avengers
characters. They're great, yeah.
Hulkling and... what's his name?
Wicked. Yeah.
Their relationship was amazing.
They're great. And in fact, I'd say the recent Young Avengers book from Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey, I think they ended that where they had something about like, well, we're all kind of gay.
Yeah, yeah.
They literally had somebody say that. So it had a very fluid sense of relationships and how people relate to each other. For all the characters. And I think that was a great way of handling it rather than somebody making a joke about it every issue or every issue and being like, well, I'm going to break into this villain hideout this way because that would be the gay way of doing it.
What?
I don't remember that
Did you have something you wanted?
I was going to answer Carolina from Runaways.
Nice, yes.
I just like that book and that character.
And she's going out with Julie Power now.
I did not know
Power
that.
Power Pack.
I did not know that.
It's true.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah. Great. Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get another question. Somebody raise your hand. Yes, you, sir, all the way over there. Please come up to the microphone.
Hi. Which superhero item or weapon did you wish you can use in real life?
Ooh.
All right, good question. Good which one. Weapon or item would you like
so
to
a physical,
use?
Not powers, but a physical object.
Green Lantern ring, right? It's got to be.
I mean, that's the best.
Anything you can imagine? I'm really imagining.
If you have the will.
Well, I got the sort of maybe Kyle Rayner cartoonist style will, which is really just thinking of weird things.
Yeah, thinking of weird stuff. I mean, yeah. Pete, of course, is the red ring. Fueled by rage.
Yep.
Not just like Punisher's gun.
Well, that's the first thing I thought of, but then I was like,
"Because I know you can't pass the
you were like
to get
any gun was your answer.
Well, because then I was thinking, I can't even say it, Mjolnir's hammer, Thor's hammer.
Mjolnir. What did you just say?
Tried to say the Bjorn? Goddamn.
Wait, well, none of us are talking over you. Can you say it again?
Oh God.
Yeah. Anyways, the goddamn hammer.
He pronounces all letters, no matter what.
So
the J is a Y.
To be fair, that's
fuck you guys. It's a fucking hard word.
I agree with you.
You didn't have this argument in the third grade, man.
When I was a kid, I thought it was Mjolnir or whatever.
Yeah, that was how the argument ended in the third grade.
Yeah,
no idiot. It's Mjolnir.
Yeah.
And did you think it was Magneto too?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, for a long time, I thought it was I read magenta.
Because
his uniform is his uniform is sort of reddish.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I'm gonna give you that.
oh, aren't we all stupid?
Yeah,
what was
we
Pete's
are.
Answer?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say the red ring. I can't even say that.
Red Lantern ring.
Yeah,
a Red Lantern.
So
ring.
You and I have to battle then.
So you want to be mad until you die early?
Yeah,
you die young. Oh, you're on that path anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So I figured, I'd just get a ring.
So you want a regular gun or a regular ring?
Yeah.
That's cool, man. I'm going to make your dreams come true. Alex, do you have an answer?
Yeah. I mean, if there was one object from Cox I'd use, probably the android from Alex and Ada. I think would be pretty good. Like that.
Oh,
what would you do with
a good answer?
Yeah, what would you just hang out, right?
Just want to be friends. I just want to be
friends.
Yeah,
I just want to reprogram her so it's like we could be better friends.
Yeah, that would be cool. Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get another question.
You really liked her, didn't you?
I did. It was a really good movie.
Yeah.
Yes, you, sir, right over there. Here, I'm going to come over to you.
So as the Punisher rescued an animal in this week's comic book, if you guys had to rescue a wild animal, no kittens or puppies or anything,
I'm glad you pointed
and had to take
Alex
care of it, what would it be? Oh, and where do babies come from?
Oh, animal babies?
A stork.
Or
we all know
human
that.
Babies.
Pete will handle
question.
The second half of that
yeah,
question.
Yeah, rescue a stork and ask it where babies come from.
Yep. I've always had a dream of going to Alaska.
Wait, hold on. I just want to stop you now because I'm enjoying this sentence so much.
Exactly.
I just want to
we're
let
all
this
really
rest
loving this.
Because I don't know where it's going, but I'm really excited to find out where it's going.
All right. Should I start over?
No.
No, keep going.
We love
keep
it.
Going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of going to Alaska and saving a wolf's life, and then me and him are best buddies, and we hang out the rest of the time.
Time. Saving a wolf's life.
Yep.
Oh, man. Wait
I
a
saw
second.
Snake eyes
Wait a second.
Do it.
This isn't Pete. It's 2 10-year-olds in a suit jacket. Oh, that's wonderful, Pete. You are a pure heart and a Jack London character and just the sweetest man
I'm
in the
sorry.
World.
So the wolf is so thankful. It's like, you know what? While you're here, why don't I show you around?
Yeah.
And also, would you keep your wolf next to you at comic book club?
Yeah. Yeah, he
would, that would be
everywhere we would go.
I feel like that wolf would be murdering me very quickly.
Yeah, I think once wolves reach adulthood, they're violent no matter what, Pete, or at least territorial.
Dude, have you read books about wolves?
Yeah, I read Julie of the Wolves.
Wow.
It's about a YA wolf fiction and cup, book from dude. The 1980s.
Yeah. I would want to. I want to be able to like hold my arm out anytime and have a falcon land on.
Oh, good. And
that would be awesome.
Falcon move.
I want to just get one and then send him out to do stuff and then come back and just give him.
I saw that beer
meat.
Commercial too, dude.
Yeah. No, that's a real. My younger brother was trying to be a falconer for a while.
Oh wow.
Really?
Yeah, my youngest brother.
Was he?
He bought a leather glove.
Okay.
Which is a big first step.
First step.
Awesome.
Check.
And then he met a falconer. But the tricky part, and we lived in the country, but like it was not super far away. So you have to like find a falcon. Like, you have to, like, befriend a falcon.
Sure, you can't, you don't raise one, you, like, find
well, you
a
can raise one, or,
you just
like,
hold your arm out, like, eh?
Yeah, well, that's why, if you see me walking down the street, I often have my arm raised, just hoping, you know?
Would you got a glove, though? I don't think you do.
Nah, I know.
Chances
yeah,
are low.
So, you put your hand down.
Put your hand down.
Not until you get a glove, man.
Yeah, who
you're
the fuck
right.
do you think you are?
And I will say, one of my friends in comedy, Alden Ford, has been a guest on the show. His father is a falconer. His Ooh. Father has a falcon. He lives in Alaska, so maybe you could go up and stay with them for the wolf thing.
Nice.
And he has a falcon that he can do. Because the thing is, you have to train it so much to go. Because you have to train it to like go away a little bit and then come back and then further. And eventually they'll come back and bring a tiny mouse.
That sounds great.
Wow. I mean, at least there's a payoff.
How do I sign up?
Yeah. Yeah, you the just, risk-benefit analysis
oh,
there is
man.
Clearly
Please,
in
go into more semantics.
I mean, that's pretty much everything I know about Falcon.
Guys, I would rescue a baby whale so that I always had a whale friend that knew where I was when if I was out in the ocean. So if I ever got kidnapped by pirates and they made me walk the plank, I could have that moment where it's like Nat's dead and I draw backwards off the plank. And they're like, ha, 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 we killed him. And then the whale raises up and I'm standing on a whale.
And you're like, you'll never
cool.
get me, you pirates.
Yeah, and then he like blowholes them or just bumps into the side of the ship.
Oh, blowholes them.
Yeah, but well, that's,
I got
he blowholes
you.
Them.
Shoots water out of his blowholes. They drown.
I love the idea of your whale that you rescued as a baby, grew up to be like a teenager, and it's like, what time is it? I got to go rescue this idiot and save my life. He's falling off another pirate ship.
Well,
I gotta be in the South Sea in like 20 minutes.
The teen years would be tough, but once he matured to an adult whale, I think that we could see eye to eye and have more of an adult relationship.
Well, it'd be one eye to two eyes because there were eyes.
I would have to stand on one side of him. Yeah, you're right.
Cool.
Good whale anatomy.
Yeah, hey, gotta know that shit. Alex?
Yeah, I don't know if I have a good answer. Just monkey. I feel like we haven't said monkey in a monkey.
Oh, just monkey.
Just
monkey.
No big deal.
This is a comedy show, so someone has to say
not
monkey.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like kind of a hack by saying a monkey, but it would be cool to rescue a monkey, right? Or maybe
from what?
A gorilla. I feel like I would rather be rescued by animals than rescue a animal.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, right?
You truly
what
are
the top of the pyramid
you
of you.
Truly are a man. I just want birds to pick me up and save my life if I ever fall down.
What's not cool about that?
Well, no.
If you saw a dude flying through the air being carried by birds,
I'd be like, that dude is dead. That dude is about to be eaten by these birds.
Yeah. Or they're going to spread apart.
That's how I
want to
go.
Alex, what animal would you have rescue you if you could have any animal rescue you?
You just said birds.
Oh, gorilla?
Oh, no, I thought that was like he envies men who are carried by birds.
Yeah,
no, birds would be cool. Monkeys would be cool. I guess in New York it would probably end up being like, what, rats or something?
Yeah. You want to be rescued by rats.
I don't want to be rescued by rats, but I probably
Willard.
Will be eventually.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on your impending death.
Thanks, I'm looking forward to that. Did we answer the where do babies come from question?
Pete's going to answer that off mic.
Nice. Cool. I think we can take one more question. Do we have one more question for the crowd? You, sir, right over there. Here, I'm going to come on over to you. Go for it.
Hi. So,
sweet T-shirt, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
Justin, can you recognize what that is on his T-shirt?
Yeah, it's a Doctor Who box or whatever.
It's a time and relative dimension in space.
Oh!
Yeah!
Oh!
Suck it!
Yeah, I don't know why that's a burn.
So they recently cast the new Fantastic Four movie.
Right.
Yes.
I would like to hear what, because Fox is terrible.
Yep.
What do you think is the worst possible explanation they can give for the difference between Sue the races?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I mean to ask is what's up with those races?
It's yeah. Michael B. Jordan is.
Yeah. So just Johnny really Storm. Quickly, Michael B. Jordan is Johnny Storm. Kate Mara is Sue Storm. Miles Teller is Reed Richards, and Jamie Bell is Ben Grimm, a.k.a. The Thing, because if you want The Thing, you want a really tall, thin guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
The worst answer they can give? Okay, because I think that them being raised in a biracial household, someone being adopted could be a really interesting take on it. The worst answer would probably be like the Fantastic Four were kidnapped by an African warlord or something, and he forced them to take a child instead of stealing their child. Or I don't know.
I mean, if anyone's a fan of the TV show Bionic Six, an 80s cartoon, that's straight up what happened. They adopted like an adult black man basically into their family, and he had bionic parts as well.
I thought that we made that illegal, but
yeah.
I would say probably the worst explanation is cosmic rays, right? Like he starts off.
Oh, he's a white guy.
He's a white dude. He's not even the Human Torch. He gets hit by cosmic rays and turns black.
Oh, so who's got it harder now, Ben Grimm looking all scaly and rocky, or Johnny Storm being black in America? I mean, what? It's kind of a toss-up now, right? Ben Grimm used to have the short end of the stick,
yeah, I mean,
but now
what
it's
if,
like,
what
there's
if
no
the villain,
pre-existing prejudices.
What if the villain
Rockman?
Isn't Dr. Doom? What if it's racism?
Well, yeah, you're right. Great point. I mean,
a racism
in,
cloud.
Honestly, though, in the worst explanation aside, what are they? Are they going to speak to it or are they not? Because I think it would be a really interesting thing if it was just, no, that's who it is. That's who it is.
Yeah.
Like, but why don't white?
Because they chose the right actor.
Right, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, a true, like, there's always, like, gender blind casting, race blind casting. If they truly did race blind casting and were like, yeah, these are the actors we want in the movie, and this is how the movie's going
to
go.
Here's what I want. I want them to not point out Michael B. Jordan, but I want them to point out everybody else, because everybody else is so wrong for those parts.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, be like,
well, that's the other thing, is the Michael B. Jordan casting is the best. Like, he's the best.
He really is, yeah.
He's the best character they cast in that group. Like, Kate Mara, it's like, what?
Yeah. Miles
is
Teller,
it worse
like,
than the last Fantastic Four movie
well,
casting,
we'll
though?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't know.
Do you believe any of these people are scientists, I guess, is my question.
I don't believe scientists are scientists, usually.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's not a scientist. That's just B.D. Wong in a lab coat.
That was so specific.
Real skeptic. What are we talking about?
Wow. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free
great
comics.
Question.
And that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Week in Geek.
And, yeah, in the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world of geek, kicking it off with Walking Dead!
Oh, shit!
Yeah,
stuff went down this episode.
This was best episode yet.
This
really?
Is what?
Yeah.
You thought this was the best episode
yet?
Of the three, yeah.
Oh, boy, I disagree with you.
What?
Okay.
That's all I'm willing to say.
Wow, well,
I guess the
so.
Show's going to grind to a halt because that's the first disagreement we've ever had.
Yeah,
there
so.
You go. We have, we've really liked this half season, I guess, so far, this full season so far.
Mm-hmm.
These two episodes have been great. Before that, the previous half of the season was great. I wasn't crazy about this episode. I thought it was a little slow. We get Carl and Michonne going and looking for food. We get some revelations about Michonne. Find out she used to have a bebe. And a little bit more of that.
Well, we knew of that.
Yeah, we knew that in the
but
last
we had
episode.
Confirmation about it.
Yeah.
What? The flashbacks weren't
well,
confirmation?
She got an insane flashback, but here she actually says out
true.
Loud, I had a 3-year-old. I lost that 3-year-old.
That's
pretty
it.
Much it. Yeah, his name is Andre.
Yeah, and I think that part of the episode was slow, but I like the Michonne Carl
team up.
Buddy movie.
Yeah.
I think that's super
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I could watch that all day.
Though I agree with you, this episode, my favorite episode was the first one where we learned about Michonne and all that and the Rick stuff. Like that one was my favorite so far. This one was good. All the Rick stuff, I feel like, I don't know how they're doing it, but Rick sweats. His hair is moist constantly. Yeah. What's going on with him?
I
don't know.
I love the setup.
He's overhydrating.
I gotta tell you, everybody on that show walks around with the long sleeves during the summer in Atlanta, and I don't get it. Rick's the only one who's got it right.
I just love the setup.
Short sleeves.
Yeah.
I love the setup of they were like, okay, Rick, you relax. You know, just hang out. And, like, that's the opposite of what he was.
He very nearly died. Well, if you want to, we could give a little recap. Rick stays at home. Michonne and Carl go out to look for food. And then all of a sudden, the house they've crashed in, there's a bunch of bad dudes in it.
Yeah, and it turns out, unfortunately, Rick has fallen asleep in the comfiest bed in all of Georgia.
Yeah, exactly.
And joke, if you didn't watch the episode, two guys fight to the death
for
the right to sleep in that bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. I will say, even though there were a lot of things where I was like, what? Like later in the episode when the one dude just happens to shoot the gas tank in the truck, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but then he looked at it like it was my plan the whole time.
Now, getting into potential future spoilers for those of you who haven't read the comics, but in this episode we also get to re-meet Abraham, Rosita, and Eugene. Mm-hmm. Obviously very important characters for the comic books. Abraham, definitely a fan favorite. Eugene has a very specific arc. Can we talk about it? Because
I think
so. So in the comic, Eugene says he's a scientist. He knows the cure for the zombie plague.
Right.
He is heading to Washington, D.C. to work with scientists there to cure the zombie plague. Turns out, not so much. He's pretty much lying about everything.
Yeah.
So here's my question to you guys. Do you think they're going to follow that arc, or do you think they're going to switch it up? And maybe, because it's a TV show, and TV shows have to have some sort of end game, that he might actually know something.
I doubt it's that, because I think that's they keep the show pretty nihilistic and pretty like, no, everything does suck. But I do think it's going to change the way they're, I feel like they're building this half of the season toward this town or whatever this place is for all the characters. I feel like it's all going to come to a head there rather than the way it did in the comic.
Yeah, I think that's also one of the reasons the show is so great is we're big fans of the comic, big fans of the show, but we don't know where it's going to go, and that's exciting. I also think that the Glenn stuff was amazing. Like, when he passed out in the car, I was like, you're going past your wife, dude. Like, you got to wait. Like, I was so happy that he got up and was like, get me off this thing. It was a great moment, I thought.
Yeah,
I like when people get off of trucks. All right, let's move on. This is something that happened pretty much right after the show. The Guardians of the Galaxy trailer broke.
Yeah.
And then we got a week of posters and character profiles and other things.
Yeah.
What did you guys think? Were you happy with the trailer? Did it give you everything you wanted? Did you want more out of it?
Did you try to tune out our Walking Dead?
Yeah, I did because I don't watch that show. I apologize. Yeah. But not a criticism of the show. I've literally never seen it.
Wow.
Guardians of the Galaxy, I know, but there's a lot of TV shows that have existed in the past. Guardians of the Galaxy trailer cements my belief that this is going to be a bad movie. It's going to be Marvel Studios' first flop.
Dude,
people in the audience are not harder, everyone. I'm right about this. That movie, I felt like I was watching the trailer to Alvin and the Chipmunks 4. Like,
what?
That
fuck
looks
you.
Like, that
fuck
looks
you.
Like a summer family comedy.
Wait.
You don't have air conditioning,
three,
I guess.
They made
you
an Alvin and the Chipmunks 3?
They go on a cruise.
Really?
Yeah. Chipmunks Overboard or something?
I think
no,
so.
It's
they
a pun.
Chipwrecked. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Man, they are killing the pun titles in that series.
Oh, man.
Squeakquel, Chipwrecked.
Yeah.
Crushing it.
The thing that's crazy about what you just said is that Guardians of the Galaxy, as far as I can tell, in no way follows up on the continuity of the Alvin and the Chipmunks series.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it could be the fourth movie in that series.
You don't think Rocket Raccoon and the Chipmunks are somehow related?
All right, I get your
tangential
connection.
All right, the connection is, first of all, okay, let me ask you this. Having watched that trailer, you cannot bring in to the answer of this question your previous
knowledge.
I'm
going to do the bullshit zone out you were doing.
Good, 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 because I'm right about this and you're going to get really angry. based on that trailer, not having read the comics, which I have read comics, but if you hadn't read the comics, could you tell me what any of the characters are like, what any of their relationships are, what the plot of the movie is, or who the villain is.
Who gives a shit?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why do you have to
say
that? Why do you have to say that in
the
goddamn
trailer? Was it 90 minutes long?
It was 2.5 minutes long. You can't tell me one detail in 2.5 minutes?
There was cool music.
Yeah.
Hooked on a Feeling
a goddamn
is cool music. Are you my dad?
What? You're not,
in
you
an
didn't like
Reservoir
Dogs?
My dad sucks? Like,
wow.
I
take your point, but I feel like what I like about this is that it's very fun. Like, they're not trying, not trying to hook you with, like, oh, yeah, do you like
this
Thanos
is...
or this other villain we might have and all that? And I think the characters all, like, while
I would go see it if it had Thanos in it, just by the way.
They're going to have a trailer that will come out. That
got a long time to go, man.
God damn you, Dad.
No, it's not a teaser. It's a two and a half minute cinematic trailer.
It's a long teaser.
Which
that's
was
not a teaser. A teaser
awesome.
Is like a 15
have
second.
Have you ever been teased for a long time? It's still fun.
Well, you know, my girlfriend's in the audience, so I can't be too explicit about this. But
go ahead.
I will say that 2.5 minutes in, I like to know where things are going.
Okay. We'll take this answer off, Mike.
here's the thing. First of all, I think the whole thing is indicated to me by the fact that they use the song Hooked on a Feeling, which is like, it's like the locust of comedy punchlines. Like, it
I
comes
agree
up
with
every
17.
Hold on,
that
hold
is
on,
a
hold
shitty
on. I gotta,
like, why not Jungle Boogie or something? Like, you know, why not?
I'm going
like,
to stop you here
something
there
else
for a second
equally
because you said the whole thing about there's no character, you don't know who anybody is or anything like that.
Star-Lord maybe a little bit.
Yeah,
he's like
because,
a weird
well,
guy.
Well, the whole moment where the alien is listening to Hooked on a Feeling on the headphones and he gets upset and wants it back. And you get a lot of sense of what's going on with him based on that.
And I will say,
I disagree.
If
like, maybe a little bit of a sense of his character, but there are five main characters in this movie. Like, I think it's brilliant to cast Vin Diesel as a tree. I think that's a great commentary on his acting skills.
But their job with this trailer is people don't really care too much about space epics. Do what?
So we
need
to know
about Star
Trek.
They care about Star Wars, but that's pretty much it. So you got to introduce that. So that's already a hurdle. And then you have five characters people have never heard about before. So the only job they had was to introduce these characters,
which they did not do.
Yes,
they did.
They literally showed a picture of them and then talked a little bit about each one.
What's more important, their character traits or their names?
I hope they do more character traits in the movie.
Because there were really only names and them standing like an action figure, like facing
the screen. And then they showed them in action,
like
fighting.
Like, Groot, 1999, Rocket, like
$7.99. If we go see the movie and it's 2 hours of them doing nothing but literally repeating their own names, you're right.
If I'm wrong about this, I will come back to this show after the movie comes out. I will bake you guys all cookies, and I will serve you those cookies and say I was wrong.
I cannot wait. Sweet. I cannot wait.
We are going to eat your words, my friend.
You see how I just tricked them into booking me a second time? That was brilliant.
Yo, that's an easy trick for cookies.
I want.
All right.
Yeah, peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
Chocolate
peanut
chip.
Thank you, hungry audience member.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll have those in several months.
I couldn't disagree more. I thought it did a great job of just putting out there what this movie might be about, teasing it. I was very excited about it. I must have watched it like 10 times.
I think it's setting up. I feel like a lot of the Marvel movies have been amazing, but they've lost that fun of Iron Man. And I think this is their big throwback to that, where it's like, no, this is going to be our fun franchise, and this is going to be a great big space epic where the characters are all fun, action-y, and interesting, and that's what I want to see.
I want that to be true, but like...
Chris Pratt.
I like Chris Pratt, but I don't want to just see Andy Dwyer from Parks and Recreation in space.
Yeah, you do. That sounds awesome.
I don't, though. And like,
you do, though.
Him fumbling is not a full movie.
He won't be fumbling.
Like, The Avengers is fun. The Avengers has a lot of really good jokes in it. And you know why those jokes work? It's not just the contrast between the seriousness and then someone making a lighthearted comment. It's because all the characters are really well developed in the first 15
Where
minutes
did they
of the
get
movie.
Developed? Where
and
did
in
they
their
developed?
Own movies.
Yeah, in their own movies.
Right, okay.
So you would prefer that they release five separate character profiles?
Yeah.
That is the worst nightmare I can think of.
I mean, I just can't wait to read the dialogue of the Groot standalone movie.
I might go see
Excuse
the Groot
me,
movie.
Sir, who are you? End of the trailer.
End of the trailer. He doesn't
Wait, that's
he
actually pretty good.
He doesn't get to say it.
No, right.
Who are you?
Hanging.
Well, the name of the movie is I Am Groot.
Oh, okay. Oh, they cut to that. It's not like they cut to a black screen. Yeah. Like, there's no tree. It's just a guy saying, who are you?
Maybe he grins a little bit and then it cuts to the title.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's like, you know, he knows.
He knows.
He gets it.
He knows.
The tagline for the Groot movie is, you get it. All right, guys, that's it for the Week of Geek.
Yeah.
Now we're going to move to our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Pete LePage.
All right, guys, this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand for the $25 free.
There are people literally putting their hands in their pockets because they're so scared.
There's no trick.
Anyone want $25? Yes, you first hand up, guy. Come on up. Come on up, sir.
There you go.
What is your name?
Vinny.
Vinny, audience? Audience Vinny. All right, here we go. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right, and you will win $25 free.
Excellent.
And you just had to read every comment that came out. That's it. Or at least three of them. All right. All right, here we go. Question number one. In Deadpool the Gauntlet number 8, Bob breaks his legs. Deadpool says he will help, so he blank. Does he A, knock him out and take him to a hospital? B, use some magic from his lady companion? Or is it C, Ghostbusters is one of the greatest movies of all time?
Woo!
Which one? I will accept A or C, whichever one you want to say.
Well, in respect to Hal Ramis, I love Deadpool, but I have to go with C.
C, yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah. Nice.
In Wonder Woman number 28, which is amazing, by the way, the start of the book begins with the team tracking their friend on a blank. Is it A, a bus, B, a train, or is it C, Groundhog's Day was the shit and deserved winning the Oscar for best screenplay?
I'll have to go with C on this one as well.
C is correct.
Yeah.
Also, it was a train, in case people are playing at home and wanted to know what it was.
Okay. A lot of people play at home.
Last question. Harold Ramis gave us many gifts, wrote and directed so many funny things. What didn't he have his hand in? Is it A, National Lampoon's Vacation and Analyze This? B, Animal House, Stripes, Meatballs, and Caddyshack? Or is it C, Ray, if someone asks if you're a god, you say yes. Harold Ramis was a comedy god. He did them all, man.
I know.
He did it all.
A lot of
rest
answers.
In peace, baby. Question. Rest in peace.
All right.
That was
unbelievable.
Nice,
by the way, Pete, how's production going on our home game?
Yeah. Yeah, we put you in charge of that 4 years ago.
Yeah, oh man, it's coming along, guys.
I look forward.
Yep. It's weird. I like that the Mattel idea that doesn't want to license that.
Like a Trivial Pursuit card, you pull it out, and the question and the answer is written over top of the question.
The last card is just screaming at you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the real key to a good.
But the set comes with like four questions and a bottle of Jack Daniels. Like all of things. That
yeah,
Pete
the
does.
Game is called Time to Do the Laundry.
Yeah. It also comes with quarters. So you can do your laundry.
Oh, for laundry. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Smart. Oh, for laundry.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's smart. And dirty clothes.
Yeah. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor our show.
Yeah.
I love Midtown Comics, and I shop there every week in high school, and I like Midtown Comics very much. And one time, a guy there who works there lent me $3 so that I could hit my extra $20 so that I could buy a bunch more comics and then pay him $3 back later. So thank you, Midtown Comics.
Whoa!
No, nice.
That is
nice.
A good friend.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. Pete, no, they're really cool. I like that place. I'm really not.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Samurai Jack number 5.
Nice. You love Samurai Jack.
Yeah, just like Adventure Time does an amazing job of capturing the cartoon. I feel like this comic does an amazing job of capturing the cartoon.
Adventure Time number 25 came out last week. Man, that comic is amazing.
Yeah.
I take back what I said about licensed titles because I also like that book.
That's yes, cool. Good.
So eat it. Yeah. Just like you're going to eat it when you have to serve us cookies.
No, you're going to eat it. Well,
we're going to eat it.
Yeah, we'll eat it, but eat it.
Nice. The Wake, the next issue of The Wake comes out tomorrow. Yes, number 6. And man, that series is great. I really love the way it turned. I can't wait to read the rest of it.
It's really scary.
Yeah, it's going to be a movie. It's like The Abyss. It's like an update of The Abyss.
It's like the best climate change disaster fiction I've ever. Well, it's so believable that you're like, this is in like 8
years.
Is
it believable?
Yeah, like it
it's
checks out.
It's about killer merman who attacked.
Well, but like the scientific,
scientific basis.
The
for
scientific
giant
basis
mermen.
For
the merman.
No, but the series of hold on. The series of cataclysmic
hold
global
on, let
events
let me
that happen in
mermen.
A year.
Yeah,
I think that part is believable. Like I think the like hitting the tipping point of climate change and the temperature changing and all the whales dying and everything. I think
not
that,
your whale.
Not my. Oh God. Yeah. I never thought. Oh, God, I have to change my answer. It's a parrot. Okay. But yeah, it's a good book because it's. I think the premise is very believable, and therefore it's kind of scary.
And nope. Merman.
I agree. Talking about licensed properties as well, I'm looking forward to Tomb Raider number 1 is coming out tomorrow. Gail Simone is writing it.
Because you're a creepy dude?
Yeah, because I'm a creepy dude. Mainly actually because I never cared about Lara Croft at all, but I like Gail Simone as a writer a lot.
She is awesome.
So I'm really curious to see if she could make me care about this character. It's almost like a challenge in a way.
A fresh take.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Now,
your
what
move,
you
Gail
to?
Simone.
I'm looking forward to Larfleeze number 8. No, I'm kidding. I'm looking forward to Fantastic Four number 1. James Robinson's new run is starting. I really love the old series. Hickman, which I haven't read all of, but I really enjoy it. And then I was kind of sad that the Fraction run got sort of, I don't want to say fizzled out, but he left the books early. And it was a good story, but it kind of lost focus in the middle. I'm really interested. James Robinson is one of my favorite writers. I'm really interested to see what he does with the book.
Cool. All right. A couple of things before we go. Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Nat, anything you want to plug before we go?
Sure. You can see Nat Towson's Downtown Variety Hour at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater East on March 7th at 7:30. And you can follow me on Twitter at Nat Towson. T-O-W-S-E-N.
Oh, nice. A couple of people we want to thank. Also, we want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David Mackay, Riley Trahan. We want to thank Nat for being on the show.
Yeah.
We want to thank everybody here at Fontana's. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We are every Tuesday night at 7. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks
you guys.
Everybody.
Of the veil of that special destiny. So grab your